Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Welcome to What the Hal. Today, we're dealing with a pretty serious subject, breast cancer. But you know what? Not in the way you might be thinking. We're not talking about breast cancer among women. We're talking about breast cancer among men. And I'd like you to meet our guests. Let me have you guys introduce yourself. Let's start with Steve.
My name is Steve Lathrop. I'm a former member of the U.S. government, and I retired recently at the end of December 2018.
And you've been dealing with?
Male breast cancer.
Not something we hear a lot about.
Yes.
And so, doctor, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nikki Gidwani, and I'm the medical director at the Marsha Ray Breast Center in Glendale, California.
And so when we hear about Steve, that's rare, isn't it?
That is.
What are the numbers?
So, interestingly enough, when you think about breast cancer in women, women have a lifetime risk of 1 in 8 of getting breast cancer, whereas in men, it's actually 1 in 1,000, which is why we don't screen for breast cancer in men, because it's not so common.
1 in 8 sounds like a lot to me. 1 in 8 does not sound like a small number.
No, and that's a big reason why we screen. We screen very diligently after the age of 40, and we recommend annual screening mammograms because we know that the lifetime risk of a woman getting cancer is substantial.
Let's talk about Steve's situation. Why don't you first sort of explain to us how this came on and what your reaction was and all of that?
Well, I don't know originally when the breast cancer started. But I went to a dermatologist on a routine visit to check skin. And she saw my right breast and didn't think there was something wrong. So she asked to do a punch biopsy, and I allowed that. 2 weeks later, after the pathologist ran their tests, she was sorry to inform me that I had male breast cancer.
That must have been devastating.
It was. It was. Learning something like that after going through all your life without any medical issues, really, and not even knowing that men could get it in the first place. Yeah, I was shocked.
How did you deal with that on an emotional level?
It was tough. I talked about it with friends. Of course, I had to notify my supervisors at work, and something that things would be changing for me. And then I sought out a good surgeon, and then she recommended tests that I had to go through.
So you went through these tests. Walk us through that a little bit.
The whole slew, ultrasound, mammogram, MRI, the works.
You'd heard about mammograms before.
Of course.
It must have been very odd to hear that you needed to take a mammogram.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was odd when I went into the imaging center, you know, a health imaging center. And, of course, I'm a male, and and they probably looked at me and thought, well, what are you doing in here, you know?
Probably, doctor, they looked at him and they understood, because male breast cancer patients do come through.
Right. Absolutely. But there's so few and far in between that I can completely empathize with what Steve is describing as his emotional state, is that it is a disease. You know, we've done a great job of promoting breast cancer awareness throughout the world. But as you can tell, it's always been really focusing on the pink ribbons. It's always about the women and empowering women. But we don't do as much, unfortunately, in terms of empowering men. So I can imagine Steve walking in and seeing a bunch of women waiting in the waiting room for their mammograms, and there's probably not too many men in the waiting room.
Do you think a lot of that's because we've done such a good job of making women aware, the Susan Komen Foundation and all these various things and pink ribbons and what have you? And so when it hits a man, it's like right between the eyes. It's like, wait a minute, I've got what?
Right, right. And that's usually because we're promoting screening. And that's the key thing that's different, is that we don't screen for breast cancer in men because it's not common. So usually the stage at when a male is diagnosed is later, because usually it's symptomatic. At that point, either they're feeling something or their doctor is seeing something, whereas in a woman, we can pick up the cancer much earlier. And that's why there's been this whole push for promoting screening and the pink ribbons. But in essence, the disease is no different. You know, between the man and the woman, the breast cancer is essentially the same. The treatments are essentially the same. It's really important to recognize what Steve touched upon is the emotional aspect is very different. As you can imagine, when a woman goes through a diagnosis of breast cancer, she gets a whole network of support systems to help her overcome this battle, which men don't have. And inherently, men don't talk about their health, unfortunately. So when they get a diagnosis of cancer, and then on top of it, it's breast cancer, there's not as many opportunities for them to seek out that support. It's not a disease that we see commonly, so there's not a lot of support groups for them. And I'm not sure if Steve had that experience, but I do think that that's something that we do need to look into.
Steve, you're nodding your head.
I'm nodding. There was no support.
None. And that's unfortunate. I mean, I guess it's because of the very nature of the unusual aspect of a man getting breast cancer. So with women, you know, we understand that you do self-examinations, and if you feel a lump, that's when you want to call the doctor and say, hey, I feel something that's not right. Well, what about guys? I mean, you know, are we supposed to do that too?
So it's important always to know what your normal body looks and feels like, and of course, if there's any changes, to then bring them to the attention of your physician. And certainly when it comes to females, we don't think that their screening mammograms should be replaced by a self-breast exam. But of course, if there are things that you're feeling or changes, for both men and women, seeing a physician is critical. For women, of course, a screening mammogram is very important to be done regularly on an annual basis. For men, we don't screen unless they have a gene that they know of a family, you know, through their family history, you know, or if they are at a higher risk. So for the average risk male patient, it still is based on their physical examination.
Interestingly, you don't know of any family members that have had breast cancer?
I do, actually.
You do?
I have a double cousin that had it.
A double cousin?
Yes.
Is that a cousin once removed?
No.
What's a double cousin?
A double cousin is where, in this case, my father and his brother married sisters from a different family.
Really?
So all the children, offspring, became double cousins.
Interesting. And there's a family member that had male breast cancer.
Yes, and he's no longer living. He died of a stroke a few years ago, but yes.
Unrelated to the breast cancer.
Unrelated. Yes, sir.
So what do you tell people now? This happened to you when?
I was diagnosed back in July of 2018.
That's pretty recent. And so you're okay now?
Yes. Just taking tamoxifen once a day.
And what does that do, doctor? Tamoxifen?
So tamoxifen, basically, it limits the amount of, estrogen hormones that are going to be able to feed into any type of cancer cells.
For a man, estrogen cells.
So men and women also have estrogen. They both have different.
We don't tend to hear
amounts.
That either, do we?
we
tend to hear about estrogen and testosterone.
Right.
And so that's maybe part of that. We all need to get educated a little bit better, right? So take us back. So it's 2018 July. You get this. You go through treatment. And when did you get the all clear? And did you get the all clear because you caught it quickly?
I believe so. I believe that's why it worked out so well for me. After all the tests, then I finally went into surgery in mid-October. And it was just a morning surgery, and I found out later from the pathology report that she had cut out the tumor and taken 5 lymph nodes as well, 3 of which were clean. So from that result, both my oncologist and my surgeon decided that no chemo was necessary.
You're lucky.
I am.
Very lucky. Yeah, that's really, the chemo can be brutal and be really hard on the body. But you were lucky. So you got it early. You got it out. It looks like, that's wood, by the way. Knock on wood, it looks like you're going to be fine. Is that what they tell you?
I'm feeling that way, yes. And my surgeon just saw me a few days ago, and she said that I'm good for another year, and then maybe I'll have an MRI just to see how things stand.
So if I understand correctly, it's usually a five-year period, right? So if you go 5 years without a recurrence, then you're pretty free. Is that how doctors look at it?
You're pretty free. So we definitely use the first 5 years as a higher amount of surveillance for the patient. After 5 years, they go back into the general screening pool, essentially. So, but what we recommend is once you have a diagnosis, you should always be careful because you want to make sure that you still maintain a healthy lifestyle, because those all are factors which will play into the development of cancer. So limiting your alcohol intake, not smoking, staying a healthy weight, exercising, those are all things that you should continue doing, whether it's 5 years or 10 years down the road.
Why did you decide to share your story publicly?
Well, I was asked, but also I felt that men out there need to know. I mean, I just, over a canvas at my base, virtually no male knew about breast cancer, male breast cancer. And I thought, if that's just a small target, then related to the rest of the U.S. or even the world for that matter, very few men know about breast cancer.
A lot of us know that Montel Williams, the talk show host, has multiple sclerosis. And MS is something he's talked about publicly. But he also opened up about having breast cancer surgery when he was 19 years old. He was in the Marines. And he did that because he, like you, wanted to help raise awareness. And so what would you tell men out there that might be listening right now?
Well, the doctor touched on it. You have to be aware of your body and your physical condition, and if there are any changes, no matter how small even maybe, you should see your physician.
Why do I think you're going to be hypersensitive about everything on your body now? because it seems to me, if I get a little something, all of a sudden I'm a basket case. Where's the chicken suit? So, how are you going to sort of deal with this going forward?
Well, I'm taking the tamoxifen pill, and I take care of myself, as I have always done. And that's what part of the surprise was for me, because I've always been very healthy and taking care of myself, and yet still I got breast cancer. So that's what you want to take away, is the fact that it can happen to anybody. And you need to be very proactive about your health.
So if I'm listening to this right now, I'm probably saying, oh, boy, what do I do? Doctor, what do I do?
So for my female patients, I would encourage them to get their annual mammograms starting at the age of 40, unless they have a higher risk. And then they should consider starting earlier based on what their physician recommends. For our male patients, again, there's no population-wide screening program, and it doesn't make sense to screen in the male patient. But just be aware and make sure that if there are changes that are causing you concern, to not just disregard it. I think it's easy to put things on the back burner, but try to be a little bit more vigilant.
So. We live in strange times, and because we have internet, we tend to self-diagnose. Now, I'll share a story. A few weeks ago, I thought that I had a very strange rash on my back. It wasn't in the end all that strange, but I took a couple pictures, selfies of my back, that kind of thing. And I saw something that looked odd, and I started looking on the internet, and all of a sudden I thought I had Lyme disease. Now, I didn't have Lyme disease, but you know how it goes. You know, you look at the internet and you see the worst and you figure you got the worst. So this is actually a funny story, believe it or not. I took a picture of my back. I called my dermatologist. I sent the picture to my dermatologist to find out, because I was out of town, to find out if I had something I needed to be concerned about, right? Because if your body's not doing something right, you should check, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I sent it to the wrong phone number. And it ended up going to a very lovely woman who had seen me on TV, and so now she knows my front and my back. But I think well, what the hell, right? But I think, you know, I think the bottom line is that we do need to be sensitive about our bodies, and when we see something that doesn't seem quite right, we need to let somebody know. And no matter how small or how silly it may seem, you know, it may not be small and it may not be silly. Right?
Absolutely. There's no such thing as a stupid question. So
that's
there's
right.
No such symptom that's too silly to be checked.
So bottom line for you, final thoughts, Steve?
I was very lucky. It was detected early. It was only stage two. And I, on my own, basically, was able to get the right treatment and testing done, and had a great surgeon that did the job and made me well again.
Good news is you're okay.
Good news, I'm okay, and I cautiously am hopeful about the future that there won't be any recurrence.
Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for joining us for another edition of What the Hell. And if you haven't already, please subscribe. We'll see you next time.